chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you say it coming, no time to play out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Rest make dab in the middle of it. Rest make dab in the middle. We are rest make dab.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We've got two basic subjects that we're going to be discussing with clips this evening. One is, I'm going to start off with, I think, the most dangerous and in a way controversial, but it's the most insightful thing, black blood. In some of these intensive care units, we have a nurse, Nurse Ann, that appears on rents, and she's testifying to some very, very unsettling things about black blood and amyloid fibers and things like that. But we're going to have that first up, and then we're going to have about three clips on David Icke and Alex, and they're discussing different subjects about reality and the state of consciousness and how the mind works and so forth, and the cult that is behind the New World Order and that's taking us to a virtual doom. So here we go with Nurse Ann Rentz and Erica Kahn, a very insightful interview. I'm going to put up the whole hour. You'll be able to listen to the whole interview with Nurse Ann by clicking on the hypertext link there. So come into thesecrettruth.com and pick up on that link. Here we go with about 20 minutes of her interview. Here we go next.
The average rank-and-file employee in a hospital now, how would you describe them vis-a-vis their behavior 3-4 years ago? Have they changed? Now, remember, all these people are basically vaxxed because one-third said no, and they walked out of the hospital world, and the two-thirds remaining who are running the show are all vaxxed. Multiple shots. We don't know how many. So what change in attitude and demeanor are you seeing among these vaxxed nurses and doctors and whatever else?
Well, 3 or 4 years ago, I would have said there would have been a good collaboration with nurses and doctors. And mm-hmm. you would have had great communication, and there would have been people where you would have seen them smiling, and they would have been kind of joking around. Now, not at the patient's expense, let's be clear on this. But, I mean, there would have been, it wouldn't have been a hostile environment. Fast forward 3 or 4 years into this scenario now where we're post-COVID, so to speak, and now all the staff pretty much are vaccinated unless they're working for agencies that would allow you to medical exemption or the religious exemption. The nurses who are vaxxed are exceptionally distant. There's a huge lack of empathy. They're in the wrong profession now because they don't have that empathy.
This is interesting.
Cold.
You're almost suggesting they're almost acting like zombies, just going through the motions. They're just
going through the motions.
Soulless.
That's exactly it. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. There's a coldness that you feel between each of them with their peers, and equally so with the patients. And the patients feel it, and they say it. And there was the one guy I talked about that was his behavior had changed towards his family and the medical establishment. He was the one guy who actually, when I went back the second night, he goes, "Oh, thank God you're here." You know, like, you know, he was so glad to see me. You know, he was saying that he had a nurse all day that he couldn't relate to at all. Now, this is a man who actually was vaxxed. but still could identify a warm person as opposed to a cold person. A person who actually cared and
gone.
A person who was distant. Yeah.
Their empathy is gone. I have one question, then I want Erica to jump in here. This raises an issue in my mind, and I don't want to jump into the paranormal, but there seems to be something in these shots that is changing people's personalities. I don't think that can be disputed. We've had too many reports of that. Do you think that this is a permanent change in their personality, or are they just somehow running out of patience? And I mean the kind that you use around patients,
yes.
Just kindness.
Right.
What do you think might be causing this? What's your best guess?
Well, I would say the nurses who were vaxxed through ice and have boosters, it's pretty permanent for them. The nurses who fought hard to not have to get it and they got the minimum requirement, they still have some hope, and they still have, you know, some happiness. And there's one that's not on the unit I'm working on, but she's on another unit, and we still have fun and we talk and what. And so, but her hand was forced to take the vax because her husband was laid off and she had two children to take care of, and she fought very hard, and she didn't win this battle, so she took the one shot, the Johnson & Johnson shot, and that was that. But but the ones who've taken multiple shots and are boosted up, yeah, their personalities are changed for, it looks like, for forever, because they were warm and sweet at one time, and now they're short. It doesn't take a lot to get them pissed off, and they're just not the same people, and it's just the way it is. I see it with all the nurses I used to work with.
Erica, we've run across many accounts of this kind of thing.
Yeah, many. I don't know. It's probably a whole constellation of different things. I mean, their energy levels are depleted. I don't think their mitochondria is generating energy. Their brains are probably inflamed. I mean, we know this stuff gets into the brain and will cause inflammation just by virtue of being there, never mind whatever other action it's having. Their neurotransmitters are probably not at ideal levels, so they're going to have mood disorders. I mean, they're toxified. They probably feel crummy, and then realizing that they've made a big mistake and there's no going back.
And they're angry about that, too. Yeah, they're injured, and they're hiding it so they can keep working, some of them. This is really awful.
And then there was another woman. I did take care of another woman, and she was mellow. She was actually quite mellow, but she was only 64, and she looked a lot older. I couldn't believe it. Like, she looked 20 years older. And she came in, and because she had dizziness, had fallen, and she didn't hit her head, but she was having huge abdominal problems. And she apparently, I looked at her chart, and had been vaxxed on March of 2021, and then a follow-up vax, this is Moderna, she follow-up vax on 3/29/21, and then again on December 22/21, Moderna, and then on September 29th of this year, she had Pfizer. And then on 10/4, she had this lightheadedness, she falls, she didn't hit her head, she had huge abdominal problems, she was having huge issues with not being able to eat, nausea, vomiting. Her immune system got really weakened to the point where when she finally made it to the hospital, she now was anemic. And Also, she had now got C. diff.
Mm.
And in between all of this, she tells me, between March and December of 2021, she was having problems with her eyesight, and then she was finally told in January that she was now legally blind to both her eyes. And I said to her, I said, could you see before this? Like, could you actually see? Could you see the TV? Could you read? Could you order from a menu? And she said, yes. But after December of 2021, which was her last Moderna vaccine, she ended up being diagnosed in January of that following year, 2022, been legally blind.
Well, we know the spike loves neurology, whether it gets in. We think it's possibly the cause of tinnitus. It gets into the audio nerve. Maybe it's getting into the ocular nerve in her eyes. It can go anywhere and cause irreparable damage. It's just possible. And what about the blood? Now, a lot of people just don't believe that people can have black blood. I would say it's hard to believe that they might have black blood and still be able to walk and talk because there's no red in it, i.e. there's no oxygen. So what's the latest on that? You told a very alarming story last time about trying to run it literally down to the lab. And by the time you got there, it had already sludged up to the extent that it was not usable.
Yeah, I ran into this problem. Anyone who's vexed, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's dark black blood. It's black blood. And the more they get vexed, the more difficult it is to draw blood off of a vein. Even when they have a central catheter, which would go into their heart, or a PICC line that goes up the arm and into the heart also, you still have a hard time drawing blood from that line. You still have to flush it like crazy. You're flushing with saline. You're flushing it with heparin. It has to be heparinized. It's nearly impossible. And once they start clotting, the line ends up getting pulled, and then you got to get new lines in again. It opens the patients up for more infection, and it's a constant revolving door with the issue of the blood been clotting all the time. So I ran into this situation because I had to run a complete blood count where we were watching somebody's hemoglobin levels and hematocrit levels. And they were worried about what they came in with a nasty, nasty wound in their foot. And they came from a nursing home. And this is disgusting. I'm about to tell you this, but it is revolting and disgusting. But they came in from a nursing home, and there was maggots in the wound.
Oh, gosh.
So that in and of itself was, the wound was foul-smelling, was revolting. And so, anyway, she had very bad infection, and we were running the complete blood count on her to check her white blood cell counts, her hemoglobin, her hematocrit, and then they wanted to see about her dead rate and a couple of other things. Well, I had to get two individual tubes, and she was impossible to get, but I finally did get them, and that it was black from the minute it hit the tube. Well, it came in, so the tube was black. So I run it down
did it come out black? Or turn black it hit the tube. It came out black.
Came out black. It flows into the tube, and it's slow as well, the slower it runs, the more possibilities of a clotting, even before you can get an adequate amount of blood. So I did finally get it, though. I finally did get enough blood to go and take it to the lab. So I ran it down to the lab. It's right now around change of shift. And I get a call from the lab when I'm in the middle of giving report to the day shift nurse, and they said, you're going to have to redraw that blood. That blood was clotted, and we're going to need another sample. And I said, well, I'll let the day shift nurse know because my shift is now finished. I spent over an hour in that room trying to get blood from that poor person.
Over an hour.
Over an hour trying to get blood.
Are the clots blood clots or are they amyloid fibril clots? Are you able to tell?
You couldn't tell. You would never be able to tell the difference. Not to the naked eye.
Not in a black medium like that. No.
Mm-hmm.
Erica, go ahead.
But one thing you can tell is that if it starts clotting, it spots really quickly, and it gets really thick. Like you when you're trying to shake the tube, you'll see it. You'll see the clot moving.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that happen. I'm like, they're not going to accept this blood. Blood's already clotted.
Yeah.
And Erica? Keep in mind, there's additives in them tubes.
Yes.
Yeah, and you
understood.
Said the majority of these people are on anticoagulant therapy anyway, right?
Every single last one of them are on. Every person is on anticoagulation therapy, be it heparin or Lovenox, or they may have a combination of heparin, Lovenox, aspirin, Plavix, you name it. They're giving them it all, and it's not making a difference anymore.
Well, that would suggest amyloid clots.
Amyloid clots, I know. And nobody's talking about that, so you know. And we don't see the doctors. I'll end up at nighttime when I have a problem calling them on the phone. And I'll be very lucky if a physician will come up and see the patient. And unless I emphasize the need for them to come up, they're not coming up. And this lady that I'm talking about here, this 64-year-old lady that looked like she was 84, this lady came in with a blood pressure of 68 over 43. She shouldn't have even been on the surgical unit. She should have been in the ICU unit, the medical ICU unit. So she had multiple complications, for starters. So we have this massive wound. She was diagnosed with C. diff. She was clotting like crazy, and we have a blood pressure that's in the toilet. And now it was saying it was also messing up her heart rhythm, and ultimately she did go to the ICU, as it turns out, the medical ICU, because this wasn't an appropriate admission for the surgical floor. But why they did it is because of the wound, because they planned on taking her to surgery to clean out the wound.
Yeah. What are the typical... Well, the blood markers that you're seeing in terms of hemoglobin, is the ferritin very high?
The iron levels are off the chain, too. Yes, the iron levels are, like, high numbers I hadn't seen previously are very, they're very high now. Actually, and I will tell you one other thing, they have stopped doing the D-dimers. They won't even do the D-dimers anymore.
And I wonder why.
They're just, and that's a very sensitive test. I've told you many times about this, but for me, it was a red flag that something was wrong for me. And I knew something was wrong, but the blood test confirmed it. And
right.
My D-dimer was off, it was in 3,000. The normal D-dimer is 50 or below. So there was no reason for someone like myself to be reading high levels of a D-dimer in the thousands when I wasn't even vaxxed.
Well, that was
no
one of the characteristics, one of the features of the, the infection, the actual viral infection. And then, of course, you know, if it resolves, you're fine. You're on the road to recovery. Mm-hmm. But these people who have been vaxxed, I mean, if they're consistently just perpetually producing spike protein, there's no end to it. And the blood, I think, it's getting destroyed, you know, from the clotting itself, the normal blood clotting, if you want to call it normal. But then these amyloid clots are forming at the same time.
Yes. And then thereafter, in the surgical ICU, you're getting hammered with transfusions. And you're not just getting one transfusion. If your hemoglobin levels are that low that you need a transfusion, you're getting two, maybe two or three.
You're toast. You're done.
Yeah.
That you're not going to make it. Last quick question. Is there a general sense among the staff, I'm not going to say doctors at this point, among the nursing staff, about people coming in there who have been vaxxed, and the simple fact that you are facing a far more complex, not only diagnosis, but treatment protocol for whatever it is that they're dealing with? This is really bad. Oh, I think we lost Ann. Yeah.
No, I'm here.
Are you there? Oh, we lost Erica. Okay. Well, we'll get Erica right back. So that question: is there any awareness in there of what these people are coming in with? The complexity of the horror that they've gotten from the vaxxed?
The nurses I'm working with are not asking the right questions. They're not asking the right questions. They're not even talking amongst themselves anymore about it. There was a time when...
Really? They're just putting in time.
There was a time when when you would have been on a unit and nurses would have talked about it. They don't talk about it anymore. And I think it's afraid because it's punitive. They're afraid they're going to get fired. It's almost like...
fear.
It's,
what a nice motivation for a professional, fear.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. All right, we are just about out of time. Erica, final question for Ann this time around.
No, it's disturbing. It's obviously I don't think they're being appropriately treated. They're not being given the things that actually might help.
No. But and they're not looking at the alternative medicines at all. It's all
As you've said before, the vitamin C to try to get that, restore the redox potential of the hemoglobin, the heme. There's so much more that could be done that would likely help these people more so than the treatments they're getting.
Well, and not to mention the fact that they could actually treat them with something that's a natural substance like the natokinase over an anticoagulant pharmaceutical drug like Eliquis or Coumadin or heparin.
Right.
Well, see, here's the thing: there's money on them because they're there's a lot of money in those drugs.
Yep.
And thank you.
If you're
again.
On Coumadin, if you're on Coumadin, you're required to get a whole load of labs outside of that to monitor those levels. So again, more money has been generated because you're basically mandated to follow up with all those, doing those labs and stuff like that. So it's a vicious cycle. It really is a vicious cycle.
Right.
Very, very disturbing about this black blood and amyloid fibers and so forth. But something we've got to discuss. So I'm not getting off the subject. I'm going to stay on it because it's something that's very dangerous to everybody. But we've got three clips now coming up, and Alex has made some statements about the cult, the mystery school system, and so forth. I found very interesting. And then he's going to be interacting with David Icke also on this. There's going to be three different clips, and we'll discuss a little bit before. I'll help set up the clips as they unfold. But here's something, a short clip that Alex just basically in a couple of minutes describes what's going on out there. So here's a better understanding for our listening audience of reality out there and who's really behind all this manipulation and all this New World Order stuff. So here we go with Alex giving just a very general idea of that.
It's a satanic, anti-human, off-world cult. The aliens don't attack in flying saucers like Mars attacks. They're here. It's interdimensional. Every ancient religion told you. The Bible spells it out extremely clearly. We are dealing with a fallen, off-world species that is parasitic and is seeking to use us, because we're actually more advanced, we just don't know it. We're in embryonic phase, to build them their escape plan model. They intend to merge with humans and then jump off-world. We are their escape pod. Now, that's the big secret. That's what they don't want you to know. That's why all this is happening. And once you understand that, it all makes sense. Once you open the Bible up and read the Old Testament, read the New Testament, read the last book, Revelation, read Daniel, read it all for yourself, and If you read it like you're going to the store to buy a science fiction book, it makes perfect sense. If you read it the way these idiot-controlled preachers read it, it won't make any sense. They're doing that by design. The ancient Christians knew all of this. The Jews know all of this. It's the big secret.
What is coming into reality now, and what is being revealed, is the mystical system and what they've been hiding from us for centuries, if not millenniums, you could say. But here we go with David Icke explaining a little bit more about the dimensions of our reality and so forth. Then I'm going to end up with a much longer 21-minute interview that Alex had with David Icke that explains it even further. So here we go with David Icke.
So we can see, I can look around now, and my five senses are seeing lights, they're seeing a wall, they're seeing a desk, they're seeing a computer. But the five senses only pick up a particular range of frequency, and it's ever so narrow. So that range of frequency that it turns into a sense of reality is what we call things, forms. So I can see the desk, I can see the lights, I can see the computer, I can see the cup. But in between all of these things, these forms, to the five senses, it appears to be empty space. It appears to be nothing there. But actually, it's not empty space. It's the it's this field of information, knowledge, awareness, etc. But it's vibrating. Its frequency is beyond the range of the five senses. And so, when you look at the world through the five senses alone, it seems like everything is apart from everything else. And it feels like, this is all there is. When actually this field of information, knowledge is, it's like we're swimming in a sea of energy, information. And our perceptions are dictating what information we decode into a sense of reality. I go into that in the books about how we actually do literally through our perceptions dictate our own experience. You know, if you think something and believe something, you will experience that. I've met people who told me about how they keep experiencing the same thing over and over again. It drives them mad. It might take different forms and involve different people, but it's the same basic experience. And what they're doing is Groundhog Day all the time. And then you explain to them that they're actually creating that. What is it in your perception of reality? What is it in your belief system? What is it about your sense of identity that is generating that recurring experience? And when I've explained it to some people, and they've got it, I kind of see why that might be happening. And once they acknowledge it and see it, then it stops recurring. Because their perception has changed, thus their experience has changed. It's amazing how much control we have over our lives if only we realize how this whole thing works. So, in terms of these dimensions, you've got what I'll call it the third dimension. You know, and it's all this scientific thing in dimensions, or it's space and time. Forget all that. That's their version of things. I'm talking about, when I'm talking about third dimension, fourth dimension, fifth dimension, ranges of frequency. Ranges of frequency which, like the analog radio and television stations, share the same space as each other without interfering with each other until they get really close on the dial, and then you get interference. On the analog radio system, you'll have a radio station that dominates. It's the loudest. But there's interference coming in as well from another station because they're close on the dial. But when they're not close on the dial, these dimensions interpenetrate each other, the same space that I'm sitting in now, the third dimension, the fourth dimension, the fifth dimension, and beyond, all exist in the space I'm sitting in now. But my senses only pick up the third dimension. Well, you expand your awareness, you start picking up other dimensions. But overwhelmingly, your senses are picking up only the third dimension. You're tuned to this radio station, if you like, this TV show. And so this is how it works. So the fourth dimension is the dimension of mind. Now you can have expanded states of mind, which will take you into the upper levels, the upper frequency levels of this fourth dimension, mind dimension, which, you know, the esoteric world calls the fourth dimension the astral dimension. And when you come down to the lower frequency levels of this astral fourth dimension, it gets really, really close to this one. There's interference. It can interact. This is what we call ghosts. It's what we call demons. And you therefore have a point where there is interaction and there can be manipulation. And these lower levels of the fourth dimension, the astral dimension, this is where the demonic world is, the world of inversion, of chaos, of distortion, of what we call evil, which is basically a form of chaos that's manifest as the absence of love. It has no ability in its chaotic state to experience the feelings, the emotions of empathy, for instance, of compassion. This is this demonic realm. And this is another interesting thing, Scott. You know, when you look at around all the ancient cultures, as I was saying earlier, you find the recurring theme of this demonic realm, which is manipulating human society. So the Christians talk about demons. The Islamic religion talks about the jinn operating. Who are the jinn? They operate outside of human sight and manipulate human society and manipulate humans. You have the Gnostics talking about the archons in pretty much exactly the same terms. In fact, when you look at my books and you see some of the terms used for the archons, they are the same as those used for the jinn by the Islamic belief system. And then you have in the Zulu belief system in the south of Africa, you have what they call the Chitahuri, the children of the serpent, which are described in similar ways, operating in the unseen but manipulating the human world. And what they've created is this network that I call the global cult of secret societies, keeping secret ultimately what? The fact that this is what is happening and this is what's manipulating the human world. And the inner sanctum of this secret society network, not Bill and Joe down the local lodge, knows that they're interacting. They know that they're being, they're representing this non-human demonic force. That's why, Scott, these representatives of this force operating in the human world, like Gates and Schwab and Fauci, Rothschilds, Rockefellers, all of them, Trudeau, all these people, they act in the same way that the demons are, because they're representatives of them. They have no compassion, they have no empathy, and they're driving this agenda of global control and merciless imposition of suffering on the population, because that's who they are. This is why they do it. And these networks, like the World Economic Forum and its Young Leaders School, they are training and developing these various people as representatives of this cult, representatives of this demonic force, to put them in the positions of political power. So you have leaders school, so-called graduates in Canada, Trudeau, Freeland, the deputy prime minister, with Newsom, governor of California, with Ardern in New Zealand, with Macron in France, and so on and so forth. It goes. This is how the whole thing's done. But ultimately, and you know, this is where I've been traveling all these years. My point is, if you want to remove a cause, you've got to get to the core of it. You've got to get to where it's coming from. And this demonic realm is where it's coming from. So this is the reason, again, that these characters in this global cult are invariably doing satanic rituals. What's the satanic ritual? You know, what are they interacting with? These demonic entities outside of human sight in this lower astral region in which they operate. And so I've talked to people who've taken part in satanic rituals all over the world who tell you how they are interacting with what they perceive to be the gods, actually demons, how these demonic entities can manifest in some of these major rituals. They're still today doing rituals that they were doing in Babylon, in Egypt, and so on. Why? Because those rituals were specifically designed to impact upon the energetic field, to thin out at a particular point and in a particular way, the frequency division between this world and the astral world, the lower astral world. And because of this conduit field they conjure with the way they do the ritual and the sound and everything, these entities can slip through from the astral dimension into this one. They can't stay that long, but they can appear. I've talked to people all over the world that told me how they've experienced it, seen it. So this is why you've got this this whole connection between the quote elite, talk about inversion, and Satanism, and you also got, haven't you, this connection between the so-called elite and paedophilia. Now, this is another big area that will explain so much about why what goes on.
Here we go with our final clip for this evening. Primarily, it's David Icke lecturing a little bit more in depth about what he means about the perception of reality and how we're limited, in our dimensions that we can perceive from a total spectrum, which is much broader than we're able to perceive. So here we go with David Icke. And then we'll listen to the music and we'll be out of here. Okay, thank you.
When I came out with all that stuff a long time ago now, decades ago.
30 years ago.
That it's, in the end, what you're looking at is a non-human force manipulating human society. Of course, people thought that was crazy and that was ridiculous and he's crazy and he's mad and all the rest of it. But as it's become more and more obvious, Alex, that what we're looking at is an anti-human agenda in which the very basics of human survival are being very blatantly targeted, more and more and more people are beginning to ask the question, well, maybe if we're looking at this extreme anti-human agenda, maybe there's a non-human force behind it then, because we're looking at, look at the basics of life, the food, warmth, the atmosphere is being changed, and you are looking at water supplies and access increasingly being targeted. All these different areas of basic human survival are being targeted. And then you look at the human body, which is, as they call it, a biological phenomenon. And then you see these fake vaccines, which they've created this COVID hoax to justify, of course, and they're putting synthetic genetic material into the body, which, as we've seen many, many, many times now, is self-replicating and building nanotechnology systems, which I say are designed to connect the human body, the human brain, to what they call the cloud. And at the same time, the cloud is being created not just by 5G towers and 6G and 7G in the pipeline, but from increasingly from low orbit satellites, vast numbers of them being put up there by Elon Musk, who's supposed to be a man of the people who cares about our freedom of speech. Well, it's funny because creating this cloud and then connecting the human brain to it via nanotechnology is straight off the script of this global cult, as I call it. And this global cult is the same cult that's behind the global destruction of freedom of speech and all the censorship. I think what we need to do a little bit, those that are beginning to see this, is to realize where it's coming from. From where I come from is that this world we call the human world, the so-called physical world that we're interacting with, that's like a movie screen. When it hits the movie screen, if you're sitting in a movie theater, when the film hits the screen, it's a done deal. You aren't changing it then. You're changing it from where it's being projected from, where it's coming from. And the reason that the nature of reality, the nature of the true I, is not taught in the schools and the universities, it's not explored by the media, is because we're not meant to know that. Because once we realize the nature of reality, the nature of the I, the nature of who we are, the nature of what this is, the pennies drop on how the whole thing, the whole deal, is being orchestrated. And that's what I go into in my new book just out called The Trap. So first of all, we have to realize, if we're going to grasp this, is what we call the world of the seen is not everything that exists in the space that we're looking at. It's a tiny, tiny, ridiculously tiny band of frequency, which we call visible light. And visible light is a smear, an absolute smear, a fraction of the electromagnetic spectrum. And according to mainstream science, that electromagnetic spectrum within which visible light, the only band we can see, is a tiny part, that spectrum itself is only around 0.005% of what exists in what they call the universe. So we are seeing next to nothing. And to understand that is to grasp how these non-human entities, in the end, this consciousness that's manipulating human society, can do it without us being seen as seeing.
And David, interrupt. As you've been saying for 30 years, since I've read most of your books, I haven't read the new one, but I read the first books you wrote 30 years ago that have been proven to be dead on. They don't even want us in the visual light spectrum. They want us in the VR, in the Matrix. They want to even get us out of what we can see at this level to be able to totally confuse us. And that's part of the lockdowns they now admit was forcing us into the metaverse.
Yeah, I mean, from where I'm coming from, and, you know, just after the turn of the millennium, I said that this reality is actually a simulation. It's a virtual reality. It's an illusion to confuse us and to hijack our perception of reality. And I said at that time that the limit of this simulation at the level we experience it as the human world, because there are other levels of it, which I talk about in The Trap, limit is the speed of light. So, the speed of light is not the fastest speed possible, as you know, people like Einstein said. No, it's pedestrian compared with what's possible, but it is the limit of this simulation, which is why it appears to be the fastest speed when you're in the simulation. And then in the spring of 2021, Scientific American ran a story, an article by an academic, and he said that he concluded that we live in a simulation and the limit of the simulation is the speed of light. And one of the things I've been saying over the decades is that what we call the laws of physics are actually the coding that's written into the simulation. So when you're creating a virtual reality game, which mimics the reality we're in, you write the codes, you write the rules of the game, the limits of the game, what you can do, what you can't do. And what we call the laws of physics are actually the rules of the simulation, which have been put in there as part of the control system. And what this academic said in Scientific American is that we live in a simulation. Its limit is the speed of light. And he related, and I say quite rightly, the speed of light to processing speed. So if you're writing a virtual reality computer game, then you write the rules. But even though you're doing that, you're still limited by your processing speed, as this article said. And so that's the limit of the simulation. And so this is like a projection. I do explain in the books how it's created, how we actually create it, in fact. But it's the projection. So the question is, where does the projection come from? Where does this, because, you know, if you look at the Matrix movies, Alex, and the symbolism of them, the Neo and Morpheus, etc., they're in the ship. They're outside the Matrix, outside of it. And so what happens is they go into the Matrix with that probe in the back of the neck, actually in the reptilian brain part of the human brain, fun enough. And they go into the Matrix, not with their bodies. They go into them with their minds. And that's what I'm talking about in the trap, about how actually all this is happening in our mind. It's literally is a mind game. Where's the mind? Okay. Basically, there's a little bit more to it than this, yes, but basically, a way of putting it really simply, is if you can't see it, then it's not in this dimension. And so it's in another dimension. So you can see a brain. Yeah, okay, there's the brain. Well, therefore, it's in this reality. We'll call it 3D reality. There it is, the brain. But the brain is not the source of consciousness. What it does is process information.
It's the receiver.
Yeah, it's a receiver in that sense. It processes information. Now, the question is, where does that information come from? Because we have this whole concept now, although science denied it right up to quite recently.
I mean, what you said 25 years ago is now accepted mainline science. I read it in Scientific American everywhere. All the big billionaires, they sound like David Icke now. But they say, oh, we're going to jack into it and create a new reality for you instead of not letting you know that we can break free of this as well. I mean, obviously, yeah, they're not going to bring us into some bigger, better reality. Everything they do is to make the reality smaller and more controlled.
More and more myopia of sense of reality. That's what the metaverse is about. It's about creating a simulation within a simulation. In fact, a simulation within a simulation within a simulation. So you've got the simulation we call the human world. Then you've got the smart grid, which is actually another simulation. And then you've got the metaverse, which is another simulation. So,
and they admit the Internet of Things and the smart grid is a new world. They call it a new dimension they're creating of the machines interfacing and directing us. So it's a prison grid.
That's exactly what they're doing. And that's why people should look at Elon Musk and ask, what the heck are you doing? Because almost virtually, no, not virtually. Everything he does and produces is straight off the script of the cult. But I was saying, you know, you've got the brain, so you can see that. That's in this reality, and it's processing information. And this concept of brain placidity, there's a placidity about the brain in this sense. They believed until relatively recently that once the brain formed, that was it. That was the brain for your life. Now they know very different. They know that the brain changes according to the information it receives. So if you have one source of information, i.e. the cult narrative, let's say, in all its forms, And you never look outside of that for other forms of information and other explanations. Your brain, and this is mainstream science now, your brain will process information and all the neurons and the neuron networks will form to process that information.
And let me interrupt you because you're right. This is mainline science now. Blue light is making little girls go into puberty earlier just from iPads and screens. That's mainline scientific study 2 weeks ago. And they admit that people that watch more TV that isn't interactive, people that just sit there and vegetate, don't grow the new neuron networks and literally get early onset of Alzheimer's and die early. And they admit young people in South Korea are dying from watching 20 hours of television a day because your body just literally turns off. Bottom line, this stuff is killing us.
A very simple way of doing an analogy for this is imagine that you had Wi-Fi, which is outside the computer or around us, but you program the computer not to read, decode, process vast amounts of information in Wi-Fi. What you would do, the information would still be there, but it wouldn't be in a form that you could see and interact with, because the computer would not take that Wi-Fi and put it on the screen in the form of words, graphics, moving pictures, and so on. And that's what they're doing with the human brain. They are, because they know about this malleable nature of the brain, they are trying, this is one level of it, they're trying to just let you have one source of information. It's what censorship's all about. So that your brain forms, your neurons and your networks form to process that. And literally, if you're in that mode and it solidifies enough, it doesn't matter what information you receive in other ways, because this is why people look at others, say in the COVID era, and they say, look, why can't they get it? It's so obvious. Well, it's obvious to you, because your brain is in a state where it can process that information that sees through the illusion. But if you're stuck in this repetitive, the brain will only decode certain information, which is basically frequencies, then you're literally not going to be able to compute what's actually happening. And this is why they want us only to see the mainstream media, shut off all other media. That's why they're going for you, because they want to control the source of information, because from the information comes our perception. From our perception comes the way the brain wires itself. And they're terrified of other information being made available to people, which will, over time, and with some who are more malleable immediately, will get them to see actually there's a different way of looking at the world. And at that point, the brain, in its malleable nature, will start changing and start firing in a different way, and it will start processing another form, sense of reality and perception. Now, that's what they don't want. What they have to do is hold us purely in five-sense reality. Because once we are processing information and processing our perceptions only through five-sense reality, they got us. We're in the trap. We're in the jail. We're in the cell. And so they are seeking to control in every way the information that
we receive. And there's no doubt they're doing that, and you've been vindicated in spades. So big picture, because I want to go through a lot of current issues with you. How are things going for the architects of this post-human world, this cyborg takeover matrix they admit they're now launching? How would you lay out the current state of the world? Because it seems like there's a huge awakening happening, but they're also coming down on us with both feet.
Yeah, I mean, we are in a real state of transition here, and we go a certain way and we'll dismantle this. We go another way and it will get more and more extreme. And again, we come back to the same thing, Alex. The stadium in which this is all playing out And the stadium in which the outcome of the game will be decided is the human mind. That's it. Because as I was saying, you can see the brain, so it's in this reality. So where's the mind? You can't see the mind, just as you can't see Wi-Fi, but you know it's there. The mind is on the level that we directly interact with the brain, is an electromagnetic field. That's beyond the limits of visible light, human sight, but it's there. It's in another, what you would call, dimension. And, you know, people talk about a dimension of reality that is very close to this one on the dial, and they call it the astral dimension. Some people call it the fourth dimension. And in the lower levels of that fourth dimension, that lower levels of that astral dimension, which is very close in frequency terms to this world, that's where it's being orchestrated from, as I go into at length in the trap. And, you know, this is where these entities are that are orchestrating this global cult in the world of the scene through people like Schwab and Gates and all the rest of them.
Talk about the trap, the new book, and these entities.
Well, once you realize, Alex, that this reality, this global conspiracy is ultimately being manipulated from this lower fourth dimension, lower astral dimension, then so much falls into place. Why do these people in the cult take part in Satanism and satanic ritual? Because who are they interacting with? Because they are interacting with entities. I mean, these people may be mad, but they're not completely stupid. And they're interacting with these entities in this lower fourth, lower astral dimension from where all this is coming. So they do their rituals, and they keep doing them. You know, you see when you look into this, and I know you have over the years, that they're doing Babylonian rituals. They're doing Egyptian rituals now. Why? Why are they doing ancient rituals now? Because those ancient rituals were specifically designed to create a vibrational environment which thins out the difference in frequency between this reality and this lower astral reality. And if you keep doing this in the same place over and over again, then it thins it out even more. And I've talked to people who've taken part in these rituals over the years, different parts of the world, because it's a global phenomenon. And they explain how these often hideous looking entities, often taking a reptilian form, not always, but often, slip into this reality during the ritual, where these Satanists are, and these super Satanists, which is what the elite are interacting with them. And so that's what they're doing. That's what the rituals are for, to create this interaction. Now, what do Satanists do also? They sacrifice kids. They sacrifice adults too, but they sacrifice kids. Why do they do that? Why did the ancients say in, you know, people, places like Central America and all over the world, actually, say Babylon, we are sacrificing young virgins, children,